Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
Something a bit different today. We've got a tag team. It's always good to have a tag team. We've got fantastic young leaders in our church. And I thought today what would be good is to have three of our young women who are leaders in our church to be sharing with us about fathers and what they value about fathers. And two of these are actually mothers, so they have a father and they're married to a father. So it'll be interesting to see how they take on that assignment and how they share with us. And I want to introduce each one of them because I want you to value these people. I think it's good for us to value the people that are with us. The first one has been a missionary in Cambodia for 3 years. Grew up on the mission field. Her family are wonderful people and are serving God in Laos as we speak. And the last... how long? A bit over 12 months or so has been serving here in our church among our youth and young adults. Why don't you give Maya a good welcome? She comes to share today.
Keep it going. Come on. Keep it going. Okay, that's enough. Thanks, guys. But any time, just when I'm talking, feel free to just give a little shout because everything I say will be awesome. So you should be shouting constantly. Happy Father's Day to everybody. Happy Father's Day to my father. See, Andrew's just doing a little video for him. He's over in Laos. They're having a youth camp this weekend. You guys could pray for them. There's a fair amount of police action around there, unfortunately. So if you could keep them in your prayers, that'd be good. So today, we're talking about fathers. I'm biased, and of course, I have the best father. Pretty much the best father. He is a good guy. Okay, I'm going to be talking about, firstly, living in our safe zone. Not in a negative way, like we shouldn't be in our safe zone, we should, you know, step out of our comfort zone. But in a positive way, living in the boundaries that are safe for us. My dad always made me feel safe. Which is a good thing to feel when you're a woman and when you're a man, I'm sure, as well. And when you're a little girl, you want to feel safe. We used to go on holidays every year in October to an area called Kovalam in India. This was a little beach area, and there were hotels right on the beach. Like, literally, you step out of the hotel and there's the sand, and 20 meters, there's the water. So we used to go there for about a week, once a year. And I love to swim, still love to swim in the ocean. Not in Wollongong because it's freezing, but yes, in the ocean. And almost the whole school went there as well. So all your friends were there, families were there. It was just a great family atmosphere. And I would swim every day from 9 till 11. And then you had to get out because we were Aussies and we knew that the sun was too hot in the middle of the day. So 9 till 11 and then about 2 or 3, depending on how much I could push my dad and mum to get back in the water, 2 or 3 till about sunset, so 5 or 6. And he didn't always want to go in the water with me, of course. So, you know, I was only little, 8 and 9, 10 years old. And we always got a room that had a balcony. Like on the second story, had a balcony. And the reason why we always got this specific room in the hotel was that Dad could sit on the balcony and look at everybody swimming. Okay, he's Australian, good swimmer, knows the surf, knows that kind of thing. The Indian local lifeguards, they were there, but they were too scared to get in the water. So I don't know why they were there. They're just, you know, blowing their whistle at the people in the water. Anyway, so he always, if he wasn't in the water, he would be sitting up on the balcony watching, just making sure that everyone was safe, not only me and my brother, but actually everyone else as well. And just the knowledge that he was there was a good thing. You know, I'd turn around and I'd look, and if he wasn't there, like maybe went to the bathroom or went to get a drink or, you know, something, I would start to, oh, no, he's not there. What if I drown? What if there's a big wave that's coming? What am I going to do? But just the knowledge that he was there or not far away, or if he was in the water, you know, he was in the water with me, was a good thing. The knowledge that he was there. And Jesus is like that as well. We don't necessarily physically see him with us every day, but he is with us every day. And we can take comfort and strength in the fact that God is always with us. Just like my dad was always there, either on the balcony or in the water, giving me comfort and security. God is there with us as well, giving us comfort and security. It says in Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So he is always with us. Even though it might not seem like it, he's always there. And it says that in the Bible. So we can take those truths and believe in them. God is always with me. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. And that's how I feel about my dad as well. I know he's always there. He's not physically here right now, but he's there for me. I can call him. I can text him any time of the day, any time of the night. And he's there. The same as God. We can call him. We can text him. We can pray to him. You can send God a text. Why not? Put it in your email. God. Dear God. Whatever. I don't know. Let's be creative. Okay. So yes, feeling safe. And he was always so wise. I always used to ask him for pearlers. Okay. And pearlers was pearls of wisdom. So Dad, give me a pearler. Okay, I rang him yesterday. I was telling him about what I was talking about. And I said, oh, have you got any new pearlers for me? And he said something about chocolates and cakes and sweets, because he loves chocolates and cakes and sweets, as do all most men. Yes. And one of his most used pearlers was, just be gracious, darling. Maybe that was something I had to learn a lot. Just be gracious, darling. And I was researching this and I looked it up in the Bible, and in Proverbs 16 verse 24 it says, gracious words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. So that really fits my dad, because he's sweet and likes honeycomb and, you know, all the sweets and cake. So it pretty much could say gracious words are like cake, okay? Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Cake gives you health, right? You always feel good after eating cake. So, yeah, gracious words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. And I was always like, being gracious, yeah, whatever. You know, you just want to get in there and say what you think. But actually, that's really wise, you know. We don't often know what's going on in the situation, but being gracious in situations is helpful, because when you've gone through that situation and you come out of it, maybe you'll realize that actually you weren't the problem, or it wasn't just you, but other people in their situation were going through things. And being gracious, it also says, be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not put them down, not cut them out. And that's from Colossians. So kind and gracious words are valuable. Okay, they don't cost us anything, but they're valuable to the people that we speak them to. And they're valuable to us because they also build us up as well. The more we are gracious, the easier it becomes. When we're gracious in the small things, we can be gracious in the bigger things. So it's starting with something small and getting better and better and better at being gracious. So my dad made me feel safe, and he's always used to say, just be gracious, darling. And no matter what your earthly father is like I've got a great earthly father, but some of us don't. And, you know, God is the best father that we can ask for, and he's the best example for us, and he's always there for us, and he's giving us pearlers in the Bible all of the time. So look out for those pearlers, write them down, believe them, and just trust in God. Amen.
Very good. Very, very good. And I do want to encourage you to be listening. Or these ladies that I've asked to share, the reason is because I know their fathers well. and their fathers are all good men who know how to care for their families. So the stuff we'll hear today is actually coming from a life lived with good fathers. And so take it on board. And as Maya says, number one, this is what God's like. He's like that for all of us. And number two, for the guys among us, and the women can take it on as well. But it's a challenge to us as to what kind of father are we? What kind of friend are we? What kind of people are we in the community that we're in? And so let's make the application of that to ourselves. This next young woman, I think, has served in every area of the life of our church from a very young age. It's been a great pleasure to watch her grow and become married and have children of her own. And she and her husband, of course, are now currently planting a church down in Shell Harbour. Give Liz a good welcome as she comes up.
Hello, hello. As it's already been said a trillion times, I'm going to say it again. Happy Father's Day, fathers. Happy Father's Day to my father. I was going to say, feel like I should probably claim some responsibility for that present. Joel was so excited to give it to him that as soon as he saw his pa this morning, he bolted to him. It was very, very cute. Of course, he didn't say Happy Father's Day like I had asked him. Like, we'd practiced on the way in. But anyway, that's okay. So some things that I really value about my father, I've summed them up into two categories. So hopefully we'll get through them okay. So the first thing that I have down that I really have valued about my father while I was growing up and still do, even though I'm not living at home, is the way that he placed value on each of us, my two brothers and myself, individually, and spent time with us individually and invested into the relationships with us. And I can't really tell you, you know, all of the times he spent time with my brothers, because I know he did, but I can't remember them because they weren't special to me. But there were some moments that were really special to me. In particular, when I used to do roller skating, artistic roller skating, and that's not a very popular sport, so no demos. I have no roller skates on, so that's very difficult to do. But I did that for many, many years, and currently, all the time, locations would change all the time because, you know, rinks would close down. It wasn't popular. But we ended up sometimes going all the way up to Thoreau from Dapto or all the way up to Winuna from Dapto, and, you know, to get there at about 8:30 in the morning or 8 o'clock in the morning or something ridiculous. And that meant about half an hour in the car up and about half an hour in the car back. And it was always Dad, or usually always Dad, who took me. I think Mum was busy taking the boys to soccer. And Dad and I used that opportunity very, very well. We decided that we were going to sing and make up songs. And it was good fun. We were really good. We should have released a CD full of songs. I do remember some about being eaten by a worm because I'm a cabbage. And the song was called Carrots, just because it wasn't about carrots. There was also another song about a spider running up your back that's going to freak you out. La! And that was like the song. It was quite good. And my personal favourite, which I was actually trying to teach Joel a few months ago, and he wasn't catching on, was I Forgot My Spoon. I don't even know how that one came about, except that it did. But that was silly. Although, you know, making up songs is sort of fun too. But it was silly. But that time was really valuable, the time that we spent in the car and the time that we spent just, you know, doing silly things. And I also remember on those car trips, I remember I must have been about year 8 at the time, and we were doing something in maths at school, and Dad was like, well, if you know how to do this, do you know how to do this? Like the next bit. And I was like, no, I don't know how to do that. And so Dad explained to me how to do this next maths thing. And I remember when I got to school, and then my teacher was like, okay, I'll teach those of you who are ahead how to do this. And I was like, I already know how to do that because my dad taught me. And those are the sort of things that we did in the car. But, you know, on the maths thing, something else that I really appreciated about the time Dad invested into me was that he helped me to do, you know, my homework and to explain things to me in ways that I understood and took the time to get to understand how I thought, and he helped me with that. And that's something that I really still value and remember when I'm teaching my boys things, or as a teacher when I'm teaching people in general, you know, those times that Dad helped me with things. So that really was very, very good. And also, just another little thing that he did and still does, I am the sort of person who tends to be fairly exuberant when I get excited. My dad's the sort of person who isn't very exuberant when he gets excited. But I used to get really, really excited about things and come up to Dad and be like, guess what, Dad? Guess what happened today? So Dad ended up, when he realised I was excited, my dad would start jumping up and down too while I was talking. And we had conversations like this. And still, Still to this day, I will get messages on the day before my birthday saying, it's your birthday tomorrow, I'm excited, from my dad. And it's times like that that dad invested into us that I really, really appreciate. And like what Maya said, it reminds me a lot of what God has done for us. You know, God is the perfect father, the father who cares about us and invests into us. And in Psalm 139, I'll just read a very, very small part of it, but the first couple of verses. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. And, you know, God cares so much about us that he invests that time into us and he gets to know us and he knows us completely more than we know ourselves. So that's very, very cool. Good fathers spend time with the kids and invest into them and show them how special they are. All right, number two, something that I really appreciate about my dad, and again, I still do, is he set a really good example of a strong marriage and also just family life in general. I have so many memories of dad either coming home with flowers from work for my mum or just sending flowers at home, so we'd come home and there'd be flowers at the door for mum. And you know, a little bit gross, but he used to kiss in front of us. Which is sort of a bit gross, but also at the same time. It also is really good for a child to know that the parents love each other. And I think that that was so good. And I actually, now that I think back on it, I think, yeah, that was really great. Like, I knew always that I was in a secure family with parents who loved each other and parents who loved us. And I just think that was really valuable to grow up in that environment. And so being able to see how the relationship both ways, dad to mum and mum to dad, see how the way that relationship was modelled, it's been really valuable for me in my marriage and set me up well for life. And I think as well, something that dad did really well along these lines is that he also had made it very clear to me quite early on when I reached, you know, dating sort of age, that he would tell me if he didn't agree with the person that I was with. And I think that was really good. And I would just like to point out that he never had to have that conversation with me or with Adrian. He always agreed with that. But I just think that was really good to know that, and to know that he was looking out for me and watching over me and thought I could only be with the best person for me. And that's really valuable and so important, because it's, you know, who a woman marries is one of the most important, probably the second most important decision in their life other than the decision to follow Jesus. And, you know, it's, you know, good life or bad life will come from, you know, that. And I just think that was so important. And, you know, I remember dad buying me flowers too to show me how special I was and what I deserved. So I just think that that's really important. And very, very quickly on this line, he also modelled a great relationship with God and with the church. And, you know, he's still here, first person here with my brothers every Sunday morning. And what that does, you know, for me and what that set in my heart from a very early age, you know, is, you know, it can't be compared to. So I'm really grateful for that. And again, just very quickly in Joshua 24, I think this sums it up very, very well. I'm pretty sure I remember this being up in our house somewhere when I was young. Joshua 24, verse 15, Joshua says to the Israelites, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you were living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Yeah. And that was our family. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Yeah. Awesome.
Come on, give her a good hand. That's awesome. Well done. Very, very good. And we got the best for last. And also, and that's Kia, of course. And Kia is currently our children's department leader, oversees our children's area, is just a wonderful young woman. I remember the first time I saw Kia, and most of you know she's married to my second son. And Luke and I were actually going to a public speaking presentation competition, and I had taken him there. We were sitting there. I wasn't greatly excited by those things, but, you know, you sort of go along and do your thing. And this young woman came in, and with I think her mother, and I said, that's an impressive young woman. As she presented herself and as she spoke, oh, that's a pretty impressive young woman there. And of course, she beat Luke in that competition. And has remained a very impressive young woman. So why don't you give Kia a good welcome today.
Christian. So because I am much holier than Liz and Maya, I'm going to start by reading from the Bible. Yeah. And I'm going to read, it's actually only a verse, so I feel like, but it's from Psalm 4. And, you know, earlier in the psalm, David is crying out to God, and he does a lot, but he's calling out to God, and, you know, God is available for him. Yeah. And the last verse, verse 8, says, "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe." Yeah. And I just love that idea, and it, you know, it links to what May was saying about feeling safe with her dad, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on as well. But, you know, God is just always there for us. And I've got, he's a great father, and I've got some really great examples of fathers in my life as well. I've got my dad, who most of you don't know, so I can say whatever I like about him because you won't be able to dispute it. And I've got my awesome husband, Luke, who is such a great father to our son, Eli, and my father-in-law, Ron, who you guys know is a superstar. Pretty awesome, yep. And what I really value about all of them is, you know, the fact that they're always there for us, like they're always there. And so I'm going to break that up into 2 points. The first one I'm going to talk about is the level of engagement that I have with my father and, you know, his accessibility to me. Yeah. And so the year 2000, I was 12, so you guys can work out how old I am if you want. And we went to South America with my father. And prior to that, my dad had worked a lot in sort of a corporate world. And so he was... he would leave our home in Gerringong, he would drive to Wollongong, and he was gone for a lot of the day. And to be honest, I don't actually have a lot of memories about my father prior to when I was 12, when we went to South America. And just before we went to South America, he decided to leave his job, and we went on this awesome 2-month family holiday. Cool. Okay, great. It was great. Yeah, it was really great. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about this story. So we went, this isn't something that everyone does, but we went hiking through the Amazon jungle. Yeah, cool. Just an everyday, you know, normal kind of occurrence. And we got to this point, we were with these guides, and our guides were like these big, macho kind of South American guys who were like tough, like these tough guys, really like buff. They kind of went around wearing no shirts a lot, you know, and not very, just little pants, like, I don't know, in the jungle. And my dad is a really tough guy, but he's not physically big. Like, he's not a big guy. And there was this one point where there was this gorge that we had to get across. And there were these, like, ropes that were kind of hanging from a tree. And George of the Jungle had just come out a couple of years before this. And so these guides helped my sister and I and my mother to all swing across this gorge. And there was this other path where you could walk sort of down and up and then you could get to the other side. And my daddy's scared of heights. And so he's standing on the other side by himself at this stage, holding this rope swing, and he's just freaking out. Like, he does not want to cross this gorge. But, you know, the fact that we were all there and we're cheering him on, we're saying, "Yeah, Dad, you're George of the Jungle. You are George of the Jungle." He was just so keen to be a part of that and to, you know, engage with that. And he just wanted to spend that quality time with us. He wanted to be a part of what we were doing. And so he jumps up into the air really gracefully, you know, up into the air, swings across the gorge and just smacks straight into a tree. And we called him George for the rest of the trip. But it was just, like, it was something that he didn't want to do, but just that he wanted to engage with us. He wanted to be a part of what we were doing and be a part of the family. So that was really cool. And he just valued that time with us. Yeah. And so that engagement and, you know, post South America, in years after that, I've spent a lot of time with my dad. And what I value is just that he's always available for me. Like, he's always there. He always wants to do something with me. He always wants to spend time with me. And that's such a great thing. And the second thing, I'm going to tell another story from South America because, you know, I've got some perlas from there, different use of perlas, but I thought I'd throw it in there. And the second thing that, you know, my dad really provided for me was a sense of security, similar to Maya's. So, you know, finish with the point that we started with. I think that's a nice little circle. So when we were in South America, and, you know, just before that, Dad's always provided us with a sense of security. Like, he...
you know, they have enough money and warmth and love that we've never felt in want of anything. But this security that I'm talking about now is a little bit more literal. So we were on a bus. We were going from, and the bus was going from this place to this place. It was going to take about 10 hours. And we had to get off in the middle and transfer to another bus that was going to take us back here, which is all irrelevant to the story, but I just wanted to walk around a little bit. Yeah. So we're on the bus and we thought, you know, we'll catch this bus, we'll get off at this transfer stop, it'll be sweet. We'll just jump on this other bus, go straight up the hill, we'll be at our destination, everything will be great. This will be so easy. And, you know, so we're on the bus, travelling for about 5 hours, and it gets to 1 o'clock in the morning and the bus stops at this pit stop. We're sort of looking around and we're like, this isn't where we have to get off, is it? This 1 o'clock in the morning truck stop where there is literally nothing. It's like dirt and a couple of like little truck stop cafes, and there's one hotel in the whole town. Mum and Dad are like, it'll be okay. You know what? This will be okay. We'll get off and we'll go and we'll book a room at the motel. We'll stay there until the morning and then we'll just head back up the mountain when our bus comes at 8 o'clock the next morning, which is what it was due to, we found out. And so they go up to the motel and they knock on the door and the motel says, I'm really sorry, we don't have any rooms available tonight. Mum and Dad are like, oh, that's okay. Could we just sleep in the lobby or something? We just need to stay somewhere for 7 hours before the bus tomorrow morning. And they're like, no. Like, get out. So Mum and Dad are like, okay, that's fine. We'll make this work. So, you know, they start setting up. They're like, what are we going to do? Oh, look, there's some tables out the side of this truck stop. So we'll just set up our beds on these tables outside the truck stop. At least it's light. You know, there's somewhere we can be. People can see us. There's people serving in the cafes. We'll be all right. And the guys that own the truck stop come, no. Get off these tables. So we get shooed away from these tables. And so Mum and Dad go to, there's like this one police station. There's randomly a police station in this town as well. There's one police station. So we go there and we lie on this bench outside the police station. We think, you know, we'll be safe outside a police station, right? Like, yeah, police stations are safe places. So we're lying on the benches and the police come outside. No. Get off this bench. And they're like, but look, there is this alleyway about 500 metres away where you could probably just sleep for the night. And so we walk for about 500 metres. It's about 2 o'clock in the morning by now. And the bus has left. It's gone on to its destination. And Mum and Dad say to us, this is your bed for the night. It's literally this dark alleyway that smells, you know, I don't even want to, if you guys have smelled Eli's nappies before, it's a pretty accurate representation of what this alleyway smelt like. And so we roll out our sleeping bags. We're in this alleyway. It's 1 o'clock in the morning in the middle of a strange place where there's all these crazy people that won't let us stay in their places. And we slept there for the night. And well, me and my sister slept for the night. My mum and dad, I think, stayed there awake the whole night. But you know what the really amazing thing is? That the whole time for me, it was just an adventure. Like, this is just a fun, awesome adventure. But I slept. When I lay down in that alleyway, I slept the whole night. I didn't wake up. And I didn't wake up because I knew that my mum and dad, they've got my back. Like, I wasn't worried for a second about what might happen. And it's only now that I look back at it and I think, oh my goodness, if Eli was sleeping in an alleyway, I would be freaking out. My mum and dad said that was the worst night of my life. But I just had no inkling of that because I felt safe. I felt secure. And, you know, my dad's provided that for me my whole life and really brings me back to that verse that says, in peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. And it's just such a great thing. Like, my dad really modelled for me that sense of absolute faith and trust that we can have in God. And just quickly, a couple of years ago, my dad got quite sick, and he's been sick a couple of times over the last couple of years. He had a heart attack about 4 years ago now, and then we found out he had cancer about 2 years ago. And, like, my dad is a tough guy. And you know, those have been really emotional times for us. But throughout that whole time, he has still been... Oh, don't cry, Ron. It'll make me lose it. throughout that whole time, he's just been a pillar of strength. And, you know, he's still engaged with us, spent time with us. And even when he was lying there sick, if he saw that we were in the least bit worried or frightened, his strength just came out. And he loved us and he would comfort us in those times. And I just think, what an amazing thing to have a father who values you so much that how you're feeling is more important than what he's going through. Don't cry in the front row, it's making me lose it. And so, I mean, that was just such a great thing. And I think that really all of the things that we've talked about, what May talked about and what Liz talked about, the best parts of our father all point to who God is. And he's the best father that we could ever hope for. And like as Maya said, even if our earthly fathers aren't all that crash hot, our heavenly father is amazing. And so it's just such an encouragement for me. And, you know, everybody needs a father. Everybody needs God. And like we've been blessed with great fathers. So happy Father's Day, guys.
Very good. Very good. Come on, give all these three guys a great hand. That's fantastic. Just wonderful. And, you know, they've made the point really clearly. Obviously, I mean, I think there's a challenge for us as people just to be like that for others. Do we create a safe place? Do we show care? Do we make people feel valued, engaged with? I think they're good challenges for all of us in terms of how we live and how we present ourselves. But above all of that, we understand Father's Day is a great day to think about what God has done for us, that he sent his only son to die for us, that he loves us, that he came in human form himself to give himself for us. And, you know, as the girls have said, you know, whatever our earthly father has been, whether that's been good, bad or indifferent, We understand from the scriptures and from the example of Jesus that we have a heavenly Father who loves us, who really wants to be in relationship with, who wants to be engaged with us. I think one of the great tragedies of Australian life is that most people believe in God but are disengaged with him. Most people believe that God exists. Most people even believe in Jesus. But there's no engagement with God. There's no reality of their relationship with him. I always remember a friend of mine who would pray the Lord's Prayer every day. And he would pray the prayer religiously. And he'd just go through and say the Lord's Prayer. And it'd sort of go up and hit the wall and come back. And beyond that, there was no relationship with God. And I always found that to be a tragic thing. That here where God will come and relate to us every day. If you'll open your heart and read the Word of God, God will speak to you every day. This last week, most of us here have been reading the Word of God every day and asking God to speak to us. And I know right now, if I pull the Bible out and I begin to read it and open my heart, God will speak to me. It's not some magical thing. It's not some mysterious thing. God says that he will speak to us. He says that he'll relate to us about the stuff in our lives. And when we come to make decisions, when we have pressures, when there's difficulties, we can come to God. Many of you know my practice, and my practice is to go walking, quite long walks with God. And if there's issues I'm facing, I'll just present those to God and then I'll go for a walk. And I don't necessarily keep thinking about it or praying about it. But, you know, so many times when I've finished coming back from that, at some point on the walk or when I'm back from the walk, the solution will have presented itself. And that's the Holy Spirit just speaking. And that reality of that relationship with God is the thing that I find most wonderful, and in relation to our community, so tragic that is so available to us. And yet in the land of the absent father, we've made the land of the absent God. And I think that's really tragic. So this morning, we want to give an opportunity for everybody to be in relationship with God. He is wanting to be in relationship with you. And so today you can come to him. Maybe you've been far from him. Maybe you've never made a commitment to God. Maybe you've not prayed very much. But today is a great opportunity for you to say, God, would you forgive me for my sin? Would you open my heart and help me to know you? Because I want to be in relationship with you. And if you will open your heart, you know, that's what Jesus is all about. He gave his life so that you could connect to God. So why don't we stand together? And we're going to pray together today, and we'll welcome you to join with us in prayer. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. and I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Heath's got a little booklet here that we give to anybody who would like to learn how to actually make that relationship with God work. And it's available to you from our welcome team. And I just encourage you, whoever invited you here today, just go with them over to our welcome team. They'll get you this little booklet. It'll help you to read the Bible. They will help you with it, or you can come and see me and we'll organize for someone appropriate to actually sit down with you and help you to go through and learn how to actually live with God, how to make that real. Because that's what we're interested in, is making that relationship real and effective in your life.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from City Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.